Good morning, brothers and sisters gathered here.
Good morning.
To the brothers and sisters that's gathered in your homes, and to the brothers and sisters that's out in the cool air at the campsite. So we all share the same spirit, same love, same heart, same mind, united in Christ Jesus. This time of year, the fall of the year, you know, we face the fall holy days with gladness and with joy, looking forward to them. And the one coming up, the Feast of Trumpets, we're definitely looking forward to that. And we know that it's going to be fulfilled sometime in the future, just as like the spring holy days have been fulfilled. So we look forward to that time. So we think about the Feast of Trumpets, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Is there a conflict in that statement? The Feast of Trumpets is considered, can be considered, as a feast of war. It can be the sounding of alarm or a call to war. It can be a warning of imminent danger, a call to battle. In Jeremiah 4 and 5 through 6 states, and I have it written down here, so I won't be opening the Bible right now. It says, declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up the standard towards Zion. Take refuge. Do not delay, for I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. See, that has been fulfilled in the past in Jerusalem and in Judah. In the past, and it will be fulfilled again in the future for the whole earth, not only for Judah and Jerusalem. Because at the same time, kinds of cries and fear and imminent danger are coming. See, we're commanded to keep the Feast of Trumpets. And in Leviticus 23:23, says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest. Just like today is a Sabbath rest, so also is the holy day, the Feast of Trumpets, a Sabbath rest. A memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, an assembly. Assemble ourselves together. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Numbers 29, 1 through 6. Says, verse 1 says, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work for you. It is a day of blowing the trumpets. Plural, not just a trumpet, but the trumpets. And you shall offer a burnt offering of a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, this is commanded for them. Today we don't offer for animals, but we do offer an offering to the Lord holy days. One ram and seven lambs in the first year without blemish. The grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. And it goes on to describe the offerings there. So we know it says in there that the feast is a memorial, a blowing of the trumpets. we will see the fulfilling of this time. And I say time because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be happening over a period of time. All that is to take place with the seven trumpets will not happen in one day. But over a period of time, of which, if God did not limit it to 3.5 years, there would be not be any flesh left alive on the face of the earth. Not any kind of flesh. Human, bird, fish, animal, no flesh. But for the elect's sake, which is called out ones that have received and been begotten by God's Holy Spirit, that time is limited. And it's limited by God the Father, who is in control of all things. So I'm going to turn to Revelation, and you can turn to Revelation if you have your Bible. 8 and 9. And in chapter 7, it comes down, and I think it's 6 and 7, comes down to the opening of the seals. And it comes down to the seventh seal. And in Revelation 8, 1, I'm going to read through some of these trumpets. So it'll be quite a bit of reading, but just bear with that. You can follow along or listen. In chapter 8, verse 1, he said, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw these seven angels who stand before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which is the prayers of the saints, our prayers are included in those, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there was noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now this time is yet to come, but it is coming. Because God's word is set in stone, so to speak. There's not one thing in it that will not be fulfilled to the maximum. And the first angel sounded, and hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up. And all green grass was burned up. First trumpet. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then a third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet and the three angels who are about to sound. See, man's wickedness and man's evil, under the sway of Satan, brings this about. It was not God's determination in the very beginning to have this happen to the earth or to mankind. But our wickedness has brought that under the sway of Satan the devil. And thank God for the Day of Atonement that's coming, that'll be put back on his head where it belongs. Just like the wickedness of before Noah, the earth became so wicked that God determined and repented and relented that he had made man and would have destroyed him from the face of the earth except for Noah, who found favor in the eyes of God. And so the earth was replenished. And today, it's the time of the Gentiles. And when their time's fulfilled, and that wickedness becomes that wicked, as in the days of Noah, then this same thing is coming on the earth. As I said earlier, without God limiting that time, there would be none of us left alive. No flesh. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then came out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing. You see, it's over a period of time, because we read earlier where the grass and the green things were burned up, right? It has time to recuperate. Rain comes, grass starts to grow. But only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. People will take of a seal during those times, but it will be the mark of the beast. Some people will be sealed by God and protected, taken care of. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Well, I can't imagine that scorpion, because I have been stung by a scorpion. Because in Kentucky, believe it or not, they do have scorpions. Little scorpions. And they do sting, I know that for a fact. But it's nothing like this. So there is something else there that I cannot imagine. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die. And death will flee from them. Of course, they described the shape of the locusts. It was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. What kind of weapon or what kind of demon has that came up with that kind of thing? They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as their king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But in the Greek, his name is Apollyon, Satan the devil. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who have been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year, God does everything according to appointed time, his appointed time, were released to kill a third of mankind. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. It's hard to imagine that kind of an army, probably stretched out from the Euphrates for how far. And I saw the horses in the vision. There was set on them were had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But all the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. mankind does not have it in him to repent. He still thinks that he can outdo God under the influence of Satan. That they should not worship demons and idols and gold and silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or of their sorceries, or of their sexual immoralities, or of their thefts. Man continues on and on and on. Now, that's some awesome things that happened on the face of this earth. So we pray for God's protection for all of us. And it is going to take place on this earth. And it's hard to see with all the devastation how we can even think of, as it's written in Luke, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But see, the Almighty God in heaven has a plan. He has a plan. And Jesus is the one that is going to make it possible for the plan of God to come to fruition under God the Father. So let's take a look at the beginning and at the ending and see what it is to get to that point where we have peace on earth and goodwill toward men. See, as it says in Genesis 1:1-2, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. It's getting darker and darker now, every day. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In Psalm 104:30, states, as you send forth your spirit, they are created. And you, God, both the Most High God and the Word, renew the face of the earth. Psalm 102:25-28 states, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, all of them will grow old like an old garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and your descendants will be established before you. That's in the future. What role did the spokesman play in the word play in this? Spokesman in this very beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word in John 1:1-5. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He brought that light into the world when he came to this earth. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. And neither did man accept it, because see, man loves darkness rather than light. That's the way our nature is under Satan's sway. But the light has been brought. Colossians 1:15-16 states this. Colossians 1:15-16. He, being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, firstborn by resurrection from the dead. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. All those demons that's causing the problems and Satan. Were the thrones or dominion or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. You see, being the evil in all the world, and to overcome that evil, and to accomplish what God had needed to accomplish, there had to be a sacrifice. So the Most High God prepares a body as a sacrifice for the atoning of the sins of the world. The sins that came into Adam and Eve, and then has been passed on from generation to generation. John 1, 14 through 18 states this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Matthew 1, 18 through 25 tells the story this way. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together." Now this isn't a Christmas message. I know we're going to hear a lot of that. "She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" It's the power of God that accomplished this miraculous conception of the Word in the womb of Mary. By the power of it. Not that the Holy Spirit is the Father of Jesus, but by its power. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." You see, Mary came from the line of King David, through David's son Nathan. Joseph came from the family line of David, King David, through David's son Solomon. Jesus is called the son of David because he was born of Mary, which came through Nathan, not through Solomon. "And he was begotten of the Holy Spirit through a miraculous act of fertilization by the Most High God." Through that act, the Word that existed before the foundation of the earth became a human embryo in the womb of Mary. The Word, the spokesman, became flesh and blood. And he became the firstborn son of God by resurrection from the dead. Luke 3:23, and we're going to get to the peace on earth. Luke 3:23. "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed by the people in that area, a son of Joseph." Luke 6, 17 through 19. Luke 6, 17 through 19. "After he started his ministry, he came down with them and stood at the level place with a crowd of his disciples. And a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and healed them all." And that's what he sent a message to John the Baptist. John the Baptist wanted to know if he was the one to come. He said, "Hey, you see, he's telling you see people healed, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dead raised. The kingdom of God was at hand." Now Jesus went about in Matthew 4:23 through 25. It says, "Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptic, paralytics. And he healed them, and great multitudes followed him, from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. But see, he wasn't loved by all people because they knew that he was becoming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They wanted the healing. They wanted the diseases gone. But see, the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees and the rulers of that time wanted to see him dead. And Luke 22, 1 through 2 states, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them." Matthew 26, 48. I know there's a lot of scriptures, but we'll get to the point here. Of course, after all, it is a sermon, right? Should be scripture. But anyway, Matthew 26, 48 through 49. "Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Then immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him." What a betrayer. Mark 15, 15. After Jesus was arrested, went through a mock trial, beaten, treated really bad, scourged, spat upon, mocked. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, a murderer. Not Jesus, who had done nothing wrong. And he delivered Jesus after he had been scourged to be crucified. The one that was in the beginning. "Now it was the third hour and they crucified him." That's in Mark 12, 15 and 25. See, Jesus fulfilled his Father's will, our Father's will too in heaven. And he became our Passover. Jesus was a perfect, sinless sacrifice, willingly shedding his blood once for the sins of all of mankind. The Creator dying for the created. See, that's why it's so hard to imagine when you read the book of Revelations, all the things that's to come, the beast power, the armies, all the devastation, all the trumpets, all the devastating on the face of this earth, to realize that this spokesman, this word, became flesh for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Not like they portray it in their Christmas season, but the real way. Mark 15, 33, 34, and verse 37 says, "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which is translated, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Verse 37 states, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last." His spirit returned to God who gave it, just like our spirit returns to God when we die. The same thing happened to Jesus. The spirit in man. He'd been begotten by God's Holy Spirit, but the spirit in man returned to him. To God who gave it. And then Joseph of Arimathea came to take his body off the cross, along with Nicodemus, the one that came to Jesus by night, secretly. And Luke 23, 52 through 53 says this, "This man," talking about Joseph of Arimathea, "went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. I guess he probably thought, well, the man spent a good time on earth and he's dead and he's gone. But 3 days and three nights later, Jesus is back alive. See, Jesus becomes the firstborn of many brethren by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the first one ever born again of the Spirit, risen from the dead 3 days and three nights after his burial. Luke 24, 1 through 9. Luke 24, 1 through 9. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, talking about some women, Mary and some of the other ones, and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. His appointed time. All things are done according to God's appointed times. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11, to the other 11 and all the rest. There was two disciples that was walking on the road to Emmaus. Jesus came up to them and began walking with them. As they came to the village, Emmaus, it was late and Jesus went in with them and sat at their table. And as Jesus blessed and broke bread with them, he was made known to them after his resurrection. They had just talked with the same Jesus they had seen crucified and buried 3 days earlier. Jesus disappeared from them and they hurried to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples what they had just witnessed. Luke 24, 35 through 43 tells the story. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Now he spent 40 days and 40 nights with them after his resurrection, talking to them and other people. He was seen of numerous people during that period of time. But Jesus had to return to heaven, the firstborn Son of God. So after instructing his disciples, he went into Jerusalem, instructing them to wait in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost, until they received power from on high in the form of the Holy Spirit, our begettal, their begettal. Jesus walked with them as far as Bethany. Jesus ascended back to the Father, the Most High God in heaven, where he is preparing to return to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he is the beginning, and he is the ending. He is the first, he is the last. Acts 1, 9 through 11 tells a story Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him and them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. That's the day we're waiting on. That's the day the whole creation is waiting on. You see, Jesus will return at a time in the future to rule on this earth and administer the kingdom of God according to all the laws, the statutes, and the judgments of God. Not according to the dictates of man or man swayed by Satan the devil. Look around the world today. It's a mess. Evil on top of evil. Murder and blood on top of blood. There's no end to it. It can only end by God. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Says, Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Those trumpets, when they sound, that's an imminent warning of danger, an imminent warning of war, of destruction. It announces what man does to man. And it's announcing what God is going to do in his judgments. And it's announcing the coming of Christ. But not through the first six trumpets. That's the last trumpet. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. The same word that was in the beginning with God. The same word that was God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fiercest and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God. See, it's called the supper of the great God. That they may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him, against Christ. Who sat on the white horse and against his army, the saints and the angels that will come with him. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. You know, that's in process today. They're working on a one world religion, one world government, one world financial system, and they're preparing to get rid of people like us, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, all the birds were filled with their flesh, the supper of the great God. His vengeance, recompense. See, Satan's time as God of this world and deceiving the nations is short, getting shorter every day. Every time 24 hours passes, his time's getting shorter, and I get happier. Then after he is confined and unable to influence humans, the earth will see peace and justice under the kingdom of God. That's for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, 1 through 10 states this. Revelation 20, 1 through 10. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them, kings and priests. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness of Jesus for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Of course, we know when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released. He will influence the nations again and bring them against the city of Jerusalem. Then after that time, there will be a great resurrection, second resurrection, and every human that has ever lived will be resurrected in his time. Everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged, also taught the truth by God the Father and Jesus his Son, his way of life without the influence of Satan. Then eternal life will be available to all that will take of it. That's when the real peace begins. That's when peace on earth and goodwill toward men is finally fulfilled. But not till then. Man does not have that capability. You can celebrate however many days you want to, and you cannot bring it about. See, the future of the earth and the heavens and the tabernacle of God is a time to fulfill that. It says in Revelation 21, 1 through 27, and up until this time, we will not have the peace and the goodwill toward men that we have to have. Once the old heaven and the old earth have burned up and melted with fervent heat, and all the works of Satan, the devil, and the works of man have been destroyed. And I saw, as Revelation 21, 1 through 27 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. All those are things of Satan. Then he who sat on his throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, talking to John, I said, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountain of water of life freely to those who thirst. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, the brimstone, which is the second death.